The scripture reading this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning at verse 10. A crippled woman healed on the Sabbath. Luke 13, verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for the work, so come and be healed on those days and not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what has bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You should have had a copy of the sermon notes when you came in. If you've got missed out, just put your hand up and the stewards will bring them around. So, while I've been away on a holiday, I gather you've got used to 45-minute sermons. Well, here we go then. We're now in the fifth week of our Paraclesis course, and I hope you've been feeling that it's been of benefit. I have been getting some good feedback. A real desire to take forward this idea of caring for one another and to really make it a core part of our church culture. Something practical. To ask the question, how do we set about actually doing it? Now, the course writers have given a title to this week's sermon, and it's this: Strong at the Broken Places. Now, that didn't ring any bells for me at first, but apparently it's a quote from Ernest Hemingway's A Farewell to Arms. And it goes like this: "The world breaks everyone, and afterward, many are strong at the broken places." Yes, there are broken places in the journey of life. Things that hurt us, injure us, even break us. All of us have our own broken places. And those broken places can remain a weakness for us, or they can be healed to become a strength. If we can journey with others at their broken places, then perhaps God can use us to bring that strength and healing. In Romans 15, verse 1, it says this: "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings or the weaknesses of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up." And so we come to another of our meanings of paraclesis: to come alongside someone to comfort them, to make them strong. What's comfort got to do with strength? Nowadays, the word comfort tends to mean, "Oh, there, you poor thing." Not very strong at all. But the original meaning had much more meat to it than that. A bit of Latin for you. The word comfort comes from two Latin words: com, which means with, and fortis, which means strength. So com fortis, comfort, means to come bringing strength, to come alongside to build up, to repair, to enable people to rebuild and move on with their lives, and to do so from a position of strength, not weakness. So how about if we use this as a better definition of comfort? To come alongside someone at a broken place and journeying with them to strengthen and build them up, helping them find healing, wholeness, and inner strength. In Galatians 6, verse 2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Perhaps our very presence can be part of the strengthening process. By just being there and journeying with someone, we can help them through a broken situation to find healing. And today, our Bible reading was the story of Jesus healing a crippled woman. And here is somebody who has a pitiful existence. Jesus gives her a proper dignity by calling her a daughter of Abraham. But that's probably not what would have come first to other people's minds. What they would have seen was her physical affliction, that she was bent over double, probably caused by some mixture of arthritis and fused vertebrae. And she had been that way for 18 years. Now, the way she's described her here, that she was crippled by a spirit, makes it sound like there was something demonic in it. But I'm told that that's perhaps not the best way of translating these words and of understanding what had happened to her. Because when Jesus dealt with the demonic, he just spoke a word of command and drove them out. No touching was involved. Here he does what he does when he heals someone from a physical condition. He touches her and heals her, and she praises God. But perhaps Luke, who was after all a doctor, sees something deeper than just her obvious physical condition. Perhaps he's pointing us to some spiritual condition underlying the physical one. Perhaps what we call a psychosomatic cause, something as much in her mind as in her body. It's been suggested that a better translation might be that she had a spirit of infirmity and that she needed to be healed, to be released in her spirit as well as in her body. Jesus describes her as being bound, being tied up by Satan. And he describes what happened as being loosed, being set free. Like the family donkey untied from its stall and taken out and let loose to be fed and watered. Okay, so what does this say to us as we think about caring and journeying together? In that great Old Testament book on the mystery of suffering, in Job chapter 7, it describes human life as being a struggle sometimes, of being like hard labour. And we will come across people who have been wounded by those struggles, perhaps even damaged in their spirits by what they've been through. Perhaps they've bandaged themselves up to try and cover the hurts, but underneath it's all still there. The hurt is deep inside. And so we need to listen to their story and recognize that underneath, perhaps hidden by its obvious outward consequences, there might be some deeper hurt, a broken place that binds their whole life. And so we need to understand infirmities, which is the word I'll use that describes a person's whole condition. Perhaps physical problems on the outside, but also spiritual ones on the inside. Hebrews 4:15 describes Jesus as our high priest, who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he's walked this life ahead of us. He understands. He feels for our infirmities, our weaknesses. And he calls us to have a similar understanding of other people's infirmities, their whole condition. And that takes time. In particular, we need to avoid what you might call superficial assessments, which just touch the surface and not what lies underneath. In Jeremiah 6, there's an example. From the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, "Peace, peace, where there is no peace." And the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And it has a deeper meaning than just the absence of war. It's the idea of well-being, of wholeness, of completeness, of being right with God and with the world. A peace that touches your inner spirit as well as your outward circumstances. The true peace of God. And a superficial handling just doesn't get there. It heals the people's hurts only slightly. Or as the Good News translation of that verse puts it, "They act as if my people's wounds were only scratches. All is well, they say, when all is not well." It's been said that human beings are like icebergs. You can only see a tiny bit above the surface. What they want you to see. A whole lot more is hidden out of sight, beneath the waterline. But God sees the whole person. But what can we do with all our limitations of what we can see? First, we don't just stop with someone's outer behavior. Are they closed? Are they unfriendly? Are they afraid? Recognize that often behavior is caused. What we see on the outside can, in fact, come from some cause deeper within, some hurt that's wounded their spirit. So don't just judge by what you see on the outside. And people can have many broken places in their lives, and they need to be acknowledged. Broken relationships. Broken dreams, a broken heart, a broken self-image, a broken body. And when things are broken like that, people often try to patch it up with something. They might seek protection from hurt by shutting themselves off from other people. They might look for security in possessions or status. Or they might try to escape through drink or drugs. But these ultimately don't bring shalom. God is the only one who can heal like that. But so often people refuse to come to him for healing. In Jeremiah 2 it says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." A broken place produces a wounded spirit, and a wounded spirit produces a pool of pain. Part of journeying with someone is to get to what is really behind it all, to explore that pool of pain, to identify that wounded spirit. God made us to live whole lives, not to carry those wounds forever. Because where there are wounds, they can go two ways. They can stay open and unhealed, perhaps fester and lead to even more problems. Or they can heal cleanly, perhaps even letting us become stronger at that broken place than we were before. And that's the aim of coming alongside someone, of journeying with them in their broken places, that there may be healing. But that sort of healing only comes through God's grace. And those of you who know our story know that even in the deepest hurts, they can heal cleanly. And we can testify to that by God's grace. And so we need to respond to God's grace. In Hebrews 12:15 it says, Be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives. But if he does, there can very easily spring up in him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in itself, but also poisons the lives of many others. If we aren't healed by grace, then the hurts we receive can so easily be passed on to other people, to make them as miserable as we feel. Someone criticizes me, so I will be critical of other people. I don't feel loved, so I will not love other people. I feel weak and afraid, so I will not help other people in their need. Someone has wronged me, so I will wrong them. And at some point, that cycle has to be broken by grace. And a starting point is often to choose the pathway of forgiveness. In Colossians 3:13 it says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Forgiveness is a key part of grace. And if there is to be true healing, then where there has been hurt because someone has been wronged, the cycle of blame and unforgiveness needs to be broken. And what better basis do we have than that Jesus forgave us? When we were sinners, when we were doing wrong against him and were not trying to put it right, he broke the cycle for us and calls us to follow in his steps. Not because the person who did us wrong deserves it, but because it's Jesus' way. And doing so will set us free. Forgiveness is choosing to let go and choosing to embrace grace. Unforgiveness and bitterness imprisons us. It never sets us free. Someone has said that holding bitterness and resentment in our spirit is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It only hurts us. But can we be set free? Can we be stronger at our broken places? Think of a pearl. It happens when a piece of grit gets inside an oyster's shell and wounds it. To heal itself, the oyster wraps the grit in a liquid that hardens and becomes smooth and shiny, a pearl. A thing of beauty comes from a wound that is healed. And we need pearls of grace that can turn our wounds into things that are good and useful and even beautiful. So Jesus calls the crippled woman forward. He puts his hands on her and tells her that she is set free. And something is released in her. Some barrier is broken in her spirit and in her body. And she is set free. She is loosed and lifted. For her, it's grace freely given and gratefully received. But for him, there is a cost in our healing. Because as Isaiah puts it, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed." There is a cost to this grace, this healing. And it's a cost that's been borne by Jesus. So there is more to this than just our well-being. There is the grace of God, who loved us while we were still sinners, who loves us now, and who gave himself for us that we might be forgiven and healed and set free. Then as the woman felt the burden lifting from her spirit and body, her response was to praise God. And that should be where our healing leads as well, to thanksgiving, praise and worship to God. So I'll finish on this note. We don't have to be bound by the crippling wounds of the past or live with the pain of the present. We don't have to live at a broken place. We can be liberated and set free in Jesus' name. May we be a church that learns to do that, coming alongside and journeying with others for healing at their and our broken places. Amen.